Hello and welcome, Puckheads. It's your host, Katie, and you're listening to Why Should Your Team Win? It's a podcast about hockey. I just shoot the shit with people. Anyway, it's playoffs, and we're going to talk about Dallas and Vegas. And I got two Vegas fans. I think you know who they are. And I got my Dallas fan back. Please welcome back Dan and Amy
Hello.
and Ren.
Hello.
You guys are a part of history right now because this is the first episode where I've had opposing fans.
Cool. Fair enough, fair enough.
But Dan, I haven't seen you in a while. Let's just jump right into the playoffs. Can you just sum up games one and two?
Eventful, stolen. Exciting. That's about the first two games. The last one was not so great, but I mean, excellent goaltending all around.
Okay, so game one, Vegas took it 4-3. Game two, 3-1. Ren, they took two games on home turf. How'd you feel about that?
It's tough. We're a better road team than we are a home team. We're kind of known for that, and I don't know why that is. I'm not going to speculate here. but I kind of, I mean, honestly, I expected them to drop the first game. Like in my bracket, I had them losing game one just because I think we're a team that tends to get in our heads sometimes, in particular, overthinking things instead of doing things that work. And we're seeing that, I think, on all levels a little bit. And we saw that in game one for sure, and a little bit in game two. But it's really hard. It's hard to have a team come in and take games from you in your house. Like it just doesn't feel good. And so it kind of leaves you with a bad taste. And it's not fun, not gonna lie.
And has this series been chippy? I haven't watched the first, or I didn't watch the highlights on the first two games. I just know that you're who's out? Marchment and Rad, what's his
Foxa.
name?
Yeah, Foxa and Marchment got injured towards the end of game two. They are out. They're both listed as day to day, so we're hoping they'll come back. Although y'all probably know this in the playoffs, you have no idea because they'll tell you day to day, and then you find out later they have a broken hand or something. So we'll see how it goes. They've called up Maverick Bork, who was just named the AHL MVP. So he might get some play time. I'm actually kind of surprised he didn't play last night, but hey, results speak for themselves. So.
Yeah, and Amy, we were talking about the last time you were on about a month ago. You didn't care where you guys ended up in the playoffs because the playoffs, it's a different beast. And I'm not envious of you, Ren, for taking first in the Central because I've to me that's cursed. But so it's first seed versus eighth seed. Amy, does that an advantage for you guys?
I think a little bit, and I think part of it plays into, our very contentious LTIR situation. We are literally a different team than we are during the regular season, and for good or for worse, I'm not here to defend that. It just is what it is. But it really does create an entirely different dimension of play. So I think that A, it throws off the defense of other teams because they really don't know, what is going to be produced out of these lines. But then also, like, as fans, we are a chemistry team. That has always been our biggest strength. And when we have Tomas Hertl out there for the first time, you don't really know how he's going to mesh with everybody and play. It really creates an interesting dynamic for as a fan because we get to see this whole new style of play, but it's also very nerve-wracking because it is the playoffs. It's not like, oh, I hope we just get a point out of this. It's
Well,
different.
we can't get through this episode without mentioning the LTIR, but because there's right now, I think Vegas is the most hated team, because they're like, oh, the LTIR Golden Knights. Hockey psychology, he's a popular YouTuber. He did a video called "They Can't Keep Getting Away with It." But it's like, why blame Vegas, right?
I mean, Tampa did it
Blame.
too.
Tampa did it too. And my way of looking at it is if the league was against it, they could shut it down. They could change the rules so that it didn't happen. And if I were I am notoriously said on this podcast that I'm not a big fan of the front office in Vegas because they do stuff like trade away Fleury for nothing. But they do have a responsibility to maximize their payroll. And if they don't take advantage of that loophole, honestly, I feel like every team that can take care of it should, or that can take advantage of it should, because it's an opportunity. The only thing is that I want to point out to people, and maybe this is just because of my background, no physician is going to literally put their license to practice medicine on the line to falsify medical records to get a player onto LTIR. So there really does have to be some impetus to put somebody on LTIR. I know it seems weird, and obviously I'm not going to speculate as to the extent of Mark Stone's spleen injury, but there has to be some reason going on there. Now, if somebody comes off of LTIR, I think there's a lot more wiggle room where a doctor can say to the player, you're the one who knows how you feel. Don't get out there until you feel like you're ready. All these things. The doctor's job is just to prevent the player from going out there too early. But as far as staying on LTIR long enough for the trade deadline and all that stuff, I have no idea. But I mean, a player does have to be actually injured or sick enough to get onto LTIR. So it.
Well,
But how crazy, Ren, go ahead.
I just want to go out there. I mean, we know that there's some really stuff, really not great stuff that happens behind the scenes. We know that players have been pushed pills. We know that they've been, all these different things. They're pushed to go back out there before they're ready. They're pushed to do all these things. And so I'm just going to put into the space that just because we're assuming that all doctors are ethical and practicing best practices, they're probably not going to be like, hey, your spleen's lacerated. Yeah, sure, go play. But I'm going to take it with a grain of salt that we're going to expect that the NHL is going to do everything on the up and up, because let's be honest, they have it in the past and there's no reason to expect them to do that now. Now, that being said, I do think these are serious injuries, and I think I'm going to piggyback, Amy, on what you said about the front office. I will get right to it. The front office in Vegas to me is soulless. Like, if you're going to sign people to contracts that you have no hope of being able to fulfill in terms of rentals, like, good for you, but we saw what they did to Fleury. We saw what they did. I mean, Dodonov, like, they tried to trade him without talking to him, without even having a conversation. Like, you're never going to get me to look at the front office and be like, yeah, that's a team with a heart of gold, but they know how to play the game. And that's a part of this. And I think, I mean, you can go look on some of the discourse on Twitter now is like, oh, well, when Sagan was out, he was out for a month. We should have put him on LTIR. We should have done the things. And I like to believe that the reason a lot of these teams don't do this is that they see these players not just as assets to help them win a cup, but as people. And they don't want to relocate them and their families if there's not going to be a spot for them after. And again, I think that's the thing, is that a lot of people don't like the Knights, not necessarily because of the LTIR or the winning, but how they kind of treat people as disposable commodities. So you've got like the original Misfits, right? And like that group's really cohesive, but otherwise it's been like a revolving door of in and out and in and out. And I mean, respect for what you're doing with the money situation, but I also wonder if some of that implication is why other teams don't want to do that, because it feels kind of icky. So just a thought.
That's fair. And the ickiness and the fear. I mean, I fear the front office. For example, my favorite player is Marchessault, and we're up to renegotiate his contract off of
Who
his
knows what they'll
hottest
do?
season. I know, and that's terrifying.
It
And
is.
Marchessault has made it very clear that he loves Vegas. His family loves Vegas. The city loves him. I mean, he's one of the original Misfits. And
Conn Smythe winner.
yeah, I will
Undrafted.
be literally
Undrafted. Yeah.
heartbroken if they don't re-sign him. I will, and but there's I have no way
There's
of
no
predicting
trust.
what they will do. Yeah, there's no trust.
Yeah. No. No.
Well, so back to Mark Stone though. How excited were you, Dan and Amy, when he opened the scoring?
It gave hints of the cup finals last year where he waited and then roofed it. But at the same time, you're like, all right, these men aren't out there to have a tickling contest. If they know he's hurt, or if he's know that he's kind of not 100%, they're gonna, shove those sticks in his back. And I mean, and that's not just Dallas. That's every team that's gonna be out there that plays against them. So
Well, so at the
it's.
end of, oh, finish what
Oh
you're
no, go
saying.
ahead.
Well, so
Yeah,
at the
go
end
ahead.
of game one, Amy, I sent you something on Instagram of, the sideline reporter was interviewing Stone and he was just getting drowned out by boobs. And the, it was kind of funny, and he's like, "What'd you say?" And he's just being charming and it's hilarious. He knows, he loves it. But Ren, what did you think about Tyler Seguin saying, "Hey guys, don't boo. That just adds, flame or gas to the fire."
I think he has a point. I mean, I'm gonna bring up the elephant in the room. We had Jamie Benn make a fool of himself last year, which I just want to go on the record on this podcast and say that that is the most embarrassed I have ever been as a Dallas Stars fan. Like I was ashamed of him. I was ashamed of how he handled it. I was ashamed of the team's effort. Like full stop. That was like desperation, stupidity, and disgusting. And so it's interesting because I knew in our house Mark Stone was going to get booed because he's, I mean, you should see it. They've got signs that's like Lord Farquaad and that's Mark Stone. Like they're like, this is him and all this stuff. And we love to hate him. I mean, he's like one of the best puck jackers in the entire league. He continues to, get away with this. And I try to look at it from the other side. Okay. I see him. I'll be honest, I don't like him, but I don't like him because he plays for y'all. If he was on my team, I'd be like, fuck yes, let's do this. Excuse my language. But so there's pieces of that. But I actually really like Tyler saying that because it's true. Like Jamie Benn, like if he's being booed and like he's getting riled up, he loves that. He's gonna go after it. Jake Ottinger has said on the record, he's like, I love going in and being the black hat, like boo me, chant at me, like in Calgary, they were trying to curse him and stuff. It does fuel these guys. Like there is something about being in there and being booed that's like, oh yeah, I'm gonna turn this around and show you. And so why fuel them? Why do that?
Last year, whenever the Golden Knights played the Jets, they chirped Lauren Brossoit just to back up, and that fueled him, and we ended up winning that series. And then in the off season, they procured him.
Yeah. No, Jets fans, we're playing them right now in our playoff series. And
Oh
we
yeah.
had like a, we lost 6-7, and they're all like, oh, j pull your goalie, blah, blah, blah. And it was like, okay, you guys lit in six. So I don't.
Yeah, I mean, come on. Like really, like I get it, but also and really that's not what we were expecting, I think all of us from Connor Hellebuyck, right? Like so maybe shush a little.
Well, so back to when you're down 2-0 in the series, what are your opinions on the Doomer fans? When you're down 2-0 and they're just like, oh my God, it's over. Anyone can jump in on that one.
Go home.
Oh,
Go
I
home.
call that the leaf syndrome.
Yes. Oh, I love it. I'm stealing that 100%. That is it right there. Love it.
I don't know if it's my sense of superstition or what, but I get my hackles literally go up when people start when you're only up 2-0. If anybody says the S word, sweep, I'm just like, you
Oh,
ruined it.
bleh.
You ruined it. It's,
It's
I
the
just,
same thing.
I, yeah.
You can't say there's certain things you can't say. You can't say, the SO word. You can't say the HT word. You can't say the SW word. Like that's it. And on the flip side of it, like, look, I have been here since 93. I've been here since the team started. I have been a fan since the beginning. I was there when we were eighth in the West and we sucked everything and I still showed up. And so anytime people start yapping with this whole it's over, I'm like, bye, you can leave. We don't need you here. It's very much did y'all see I really love this. They were talking to John Cooper, who I'm gonna go out here and say I don't like Tampa Bay either for obvious reasons, but I respect the hell out of John Cooper and I really like him as a coach and a person. And when he was talking about them being down in the series to Florida, and he literally just said, the believers can show up tomorrow, everybody else can go. That's exactly how I feel about both players and fans. Like either you're here and you're in with this team, whether they're good or not, or you can go. Sorry.
So I just want to, you know, since it's a unique episode, I've got opposing fans. I just want to talk about crazy fans. Not like crazy. I've been there since 93. I love this team, but like,
no, I know what you're talking about. I know what you're talking about.
So yeah, after game two, a Stars fan sucker punched a Vegas fan. I don't know. Anyone jump in on this? What are you guys' thoughts?
There's no place for it. There's no place for it in hockey, and there's no place for it in sports. You know, that's, to my mind, it just was like, oh, that's football fan behavior. That's, you know, even baseball, you know, but I don't anticipate seeing that in hockey. And, you know, I've just from my own personal experience, normally, even across team rivalries, hockey fans are pretty cool with each other, because when it comes down to it, we don't love our team. We love the game. I mean, we love our teams, but, you know, and there's just no room for that antagonistic real life violence thing.
I think it can be playful. You know, Ren, we grew up, or I, you know, I know these guys from North Dakota. And so I grew up cheering for the Sioux, go Fighting Hawks now. I had a friend, she lived in Minneapolis, but she was still a hardcore Sioux fan. So she showed up to work after the Sioux had beaten the Gophers for like a playoff game or something. And she showed up on Monday wearing a Gopher sweater. And everyone was confused. Like, why are you wearing a Gopher sweater? Your team won. And she said, I don't know. I just wanted to know what it felt like to be a loser.
Wow. But that's the playful banter that's type thing.
Yeah, that's playful.
Yeah, that's but different. That's that not said, though,
I wouldn't
someone.
Wear a UND jersey in Minneapolis. I just don't want that kind of heat.
Right. No. Yeah, I'm not brave enough. That was my first thought, was like, wow, guts.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes. Because that's, I mean, it gets rough. And I mean, it's interesting to see with what happened with this fan. I mean, it was posted to like a Facebook group, I think, for Stars fans. And it's like, it's just spread like wildfire through the fandom, trying to like find this person and find out what happened, because 100%, that's not what we want. We don't want that reputation. We don't want to be like that. That's not who we are. This person's not representative of us. And so a lot of us are just like, let's find this person. Did anyone see anything? Because I agree. There's no place for that. Like, if there's going to be fisticuffs, let it be on the ice. Like, it's not that serious.
Absolutely. Yep. Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think alcohol is the blame. And I think any arena you go to, they stop selling at the 3/4 mark or 3/4 mark. Yeah, and that has like drastically that. Reduced the violence. Mm-hmm. But also, I heard after the game two in Dallas, there was no really organization from the local police, the DPD. You know, I think like, I don't know, something like there should have been more of a police presence, and there wasn't really, like, it was just drunk people on their own doing whatever. I don't know.
Usually I haven't had the privilege to go to any playoff games yet, but generally when we get out, there's a pretty good police presence around the arena. So that's unusual. And I hadn't heard that, but it also wouldn't surprise me, because when I was reading what had happened and where they were and kind of where they were going, is like, there's this one area, it's the plaza kind of where we come in, which is by this, there's a restaurant right there called Hero. That's where it happened, was right outside of there. And so it's kind of like the front walk up. And usually there's a fair amount of people in the plaza there, and just like police presence and people directing for like Uber pickups and all that stuff. And so I wonder if that just got missed or something, because usually there's plenty of people out there. So that's, I mean, no, you cannot have people running around drunk after a sporting event without having some other people there, because there are folks in this world who just don't know how to behave. So
there's always an example of that. Go ahead, Dan.
Prime example of that would be whenever we used to live in Vegas, they hold the UFC fights there.
Oh, yes.
And they sell beer there. So it'd always be a big thing for us locals to kind of stay away from the strip around that time, because you have people that watch a violent sport that might not be violent themselves. You add a couple of beers, and then they, you know, they feel strong. They're like, oh, I can, you know, one good punch on the chin and, you know, turn his head and he's out, and then I'm walking away the champ, you know, type of situation. Yep. And so then, you know, they flood out onto the streets, and you know, one person bumps into somebody, or one person scuffs somebody else's shoe, and next thing you know, it's, oh, what are you doing? What let's go, you know. So it's
just ugly.
It's
fast.
In all fandom, the fanaticism is just kind of not good sometimes.
I fell down a rabbit hole while like looking up things to talk about, you know, like crazy fans. And in the 1985, there was the Heysel Stadium disaster here in Brussels. And it was like Liverpool versus Juventus. I'm just giving you the long story short. 39 people died because the stadium half collapsed because the Liverpool fans, the English hooligans, you know, attacked the Juventus fans. Oh. They played the game with the dead fans on the side. It's insane.
Wow.
I will have to read about that. That is,
I'll drop a link on the description notes.
Because I want to read about that. That's nuts. Like,
you're taking it too far. Because like sports fandom, it involves like the strong sense of identity and community. Like, I'm sure when you go to a Stars game in Vegas, like you're high fiving the other fans. Yeah. Like when I went to the Wild game last October, I'm high fiving a guy I've never met in my life.
Yep.
You know, so everybody chill out.
let more high-fiving and less face punching. Like, come on. Like, what's really interesting is depending on where I've sat at the AAC and who I sit around. I mean, sometimes we're even high-fiving the other team's fans. Like we were hanging out at a game. I think it was against the Rangers one time. It was right before COVID. And they scored this goal that was just ridiculous, like just gorgeous. And there's these two Rangers fans in front of us, and they're like, yeah. And my hockey wife and I are just like, you know what? I can't argue with that. Like, you just lifted this goal. Like, it was just, oh my God, like beautiful. Like, hell yes. Give us a high five. And then we're like buds for the rest of the game. And that's the kind of camaraderie I like to see in hockey. Like, can we have respect for each other as like, cause that's the thing. I think when all this was starting and everyone's asking, like my friends who are other fans, you know, are like, oh, how do you feel about winning the Central and winning the privilege of the Golden Knights? And I was like, look, I would rather go in and exercise the demons from last year for starters, but also the playoffs is about beating the best teams. Why not start with the reigning champs? Like, let's go in and throw our hat in the ring. Like, at the very bottom of everything else, this is the freaking playoffs. Like, this should be some of the best hockey we ever get to see this year. And we are privileged to be in this position. And so let's have fun with it. Let's enjoy, let's watch this good hockey. And
yeah,
and
absolutely.
When they get into this other stuff, is just gross.
Last night's game was so fun. I mean, once we finally showed up, but I mean, you guys played phenomenally the whole game. And honestly, even when we lost in overtime, how can you be mad at a 20-year-old kid who, you know, saves the day in the Stanley Cup playoffs? That's good hockey. So I know exactly what you mean.
Second goal in eight shots. Two goals and eight shots for him.
Yes. Yeah. He's something special.
Why don't you tell us more about Wyatt?
Oh, Wyatt.
So he was baby Wyatt. And then after that goal in overtime, he's no longer baby Wyatt.
I don't think he's a baby. Look,
he's big boy Wyatt now.
He's big boy Wyatt. I mean, the thing I love about Wyatt Johnson is he came in and he's this young kid. He came in as a rookie, just like, you know, hit it out of the park during camp and got put on the roster. And all of us are like, oh, this 19-year-old, you know, what's going on? And he's just been phenomenal. And it's been such a great story because he also lived with the Pavelskis, you know, so we always joke that, you know, it's Wyatt and Joe is like father, son, and just this really sweet, like, dynamic of he's very humble, very quiet, just comes in and does his job. And I mean, he's incredible at it. And that's the same thing. Like, how can you be mad at, you know, these goalies that come in who are not supposed to be starters, who were supposed to be backups, who all of a sudden are making these saves? And just, I mean, Thompson was just incredible last night.
Hats off to him. He shut it down. It should have been a much more lopsided game.
Oh, I think it could have been 8-0 for a long time. You know, it was
Yeah.
Crazy.
Massive game from him. Just incredible. And you know, I mean, there's been all the speculation about it because last year there was all the goalies, right? And like Aiden Hill came out and did this massive job. And we kind of love to hate him here, you know, because I'm a goalie girl at heart. I love all goalies except for, you know, the notable exception in St. Louis. We won't talk about him. But and there's a couple others for very good reason. But I can't be mad at a goalie unless they're either really offensive or they're you know, really problematic for other reasons. And just so much respect for these goaltenders who have come in there in situations and just shown it out. Like, holy cow, amazing.
Yeah, Ren, last time we talked, I asked you which player you'd like to have a huge playoff from. And you mentioned Tyler Seguin.
Yeah.
He got shut down twice. He had
he
two
did.
Great opportunities. But Logan, he kept his cool. I don't know. It was just really fun to watch. It was a really great game.
Best of the series for sure. Not that I think the first two, well, okay, best of the series for us because we showed up, I think, finally. I think we got out of our way and showed up. But so far, to me, the hockey in this series has been amazing. I've really loved it.
I agree. Yep, I agree. Yeah. And honestly, I think we kind of needed the reality check. I mean, for a couple things, I think, came to light out of this. I think in game four, it's going to be really important for us to stay out of the box. That was the lessons from game one and two. You know, our offense has to show up on time, and then the defense really can't leave LT or if whoever ends up in goal. I don't know what's going on. I wish there was a little bit more transparency about why Aiden Hill hasn't played yet. But anyway, I think sometimes a loss is important. You know,
loss grounds you, let you know what
for
problems
sure.
But I don't know what it is with this season, but we haven't showed up in the first period for home games. We end up clawing our way back in the second and then kind of trouncing people in the third, for the lack of better terms sometimes.
Yeah.
And sometimes it just doesn't go that way, and we just don't show up. So
I always feel the worst for Bruce Cassidy because he looks physically ill like the entire first period. They're going to kill that man, I swear.
I always see him and I'm like, oh, get that poor baby some Tums. Like, I know he's got indigestion.
So what adjustments need to be made for game four? Anyone could jump in on that one.
Nick Hague is out, I think. I think he got injured in game two.
Yep.
But Stevenson staying out of the box. Stone got 1 point. I like to see him have more. Tomas Hertl has 1 point. I like to see more out of him as well. But, you know, just kind of what we had last year, the people that said, you know, there's no free rides on this bus. You know, you got to put up points, got to put up hits, try and stay out of the box. I mean, Stevenson's our only guy that really has been a multiple offender. I think he, let's see, hold on. He has 4 penalty minutes. So, you know, if that's the highest one on our team,
out.
We just need to.
It stands out because that's one of the things that we know is that we have to stay out of the box too, because Vegas doesn't get penalized that much. So same thing. I mean, you know, we can't afford to take that, to take that chance that y'all are going to score on the power play. And I think
with yesterday's game, you guys really capitalized on the mistakes Vegas made. So that's how tight playoff games, you make one mistake and boom, shot up the ice, score, you know, it's like, ugh.
Well, and our passes were a mess. I mean, and you can't put together organized plays if you don't have crisp passes, period. Whether it's communicating with each other or they got the yips or what, I don't know, but that's got to be probably the priority, in my opinion, is tightening up those passes. Also, as far as like managing shift time, I noticed far too often that Dallas's top line was out against our like fourth line. And so, you know, I don't know if somebody's playing, my suspicion is somebody's playing injured. And so our top line's not spending as much time on the ice, but it's the playoffs, so nobody's going to say anything. You'll find out afterward that, you know, like Mark Stone was playing with a broken hand. So, I don't like that opaque situation where they will keep everything mum, but there's little clues out there, and I think shift time is one of them.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I think all of us get to a place where, just Tyler Seguin as example, you know, he was out, he missed time for this injury. Then as we were coming back and like finishing out the season, he'd, you know, sit out a game or whatever. And anytime that's happening, I just kind of brace myself because I'm waiting for the end of season where we find out that, you know, he's got a torn labrum again, or, you know, he has a rotator cuff injury, or sometimes they're playing through just incredible things. I mean, I think back to last year and Matthew Tkachuk trying to play with a broken sternum.
Yeah, that's insane.
Every breath would hurt.
I know, I'm like,
yes. Like I, oh my goodness. Just like thinking about that and hearing the story about Brady having to get him up and get dressed. Like, I get it. It's the Stanley Cup. It's the most important thing. And there's all these little, like you said, there's all these clues. Like you see, okay, well, why isn't this person getting ice time? Why isn't this person playing on this line? And if people are out, you know, they're clearly not well enough to be in the lineup, but then it's very hush hush, very mum. Like if you've seen what's going on with the Leafs with Nylander and, you know, does he have migraines? Does he have food poisoning? Now Austin Matthews has food poisoning. Like, we're not going to tell the truth about it. And I get why they don't want other teams to be able to take that information and capitalize, but also for fans, it can be really confusing to go from this, like this person's injured, this person sitting out, to just like, we're not going to say anything. And I think we want to know because we want to understand what's happening with our team when things are different.
Yeah.
Plus we care about these guys, you know, and it's kind of heartbreaking. You know, we don't have to go to our jobs and, you know, do whatever we do, you know, with these huge injuries, much less a super physical game that it's just so intense and involves so much contact. And, you know, that it's kind of heartbreaking when you find out that these guys will be playing through these insane injuries. Hurts my heart a little bit.
Me too.
Yeah.
Thank
you.
Go ahead.
Well, I think 3 years ago, the year before we didn't even make the playoffs, Alex Martinez was playing with a broken foot. And, you know, imagine trying to stick your foot in a hockey skate and lace it up and then go out there and, you know, put that body out there in front of somebody shooting a puck.
Well,
you know,
are
the foot's already broken.
Doctors like shooting you up before this? I mean, are they just like, all right, we're going to inject you in the calf and the ankle and your big toe. Like, is
Toradol.
Novocaine.
Yeah.
Novocaine, Toradol. I mean, that's what I was talking about earlier with the, hey, you know what? It's possible. It's possible.
Yeah.
I mean, I think they would try anything at this point, but yeah, I mean, that's one of the things that I was talking about. And there's some really good reading material out there about some of the stuff that's happened. And there's been some players that have talked about like the pill pushing and the, you know, doctors saying stuff like, well, I can't tell you can't play, but da, 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 da. And all I think about all the time is that these men get to play this game and they get to play it for a living. And yes, that's a privilege. And there's going to be a life after this game. And I want them to be able to walk and talk and play with their children and their grandchildren. And just, I mean, thinking about the toll on the body and what that means for after they get out of this career. And I know that it's very narrow-sighted when they're in it, but there's some times where I just want to be like, please, please, I want you to be able to walk without pain when you're in your 80s.
Yeah, exactly. Or, you know, I don't think that the league takes head injuries nearly as serious as they ought to. And there hasn't, to my knowledge, been any studies specific to NHL players, but I know that in the NFL, those guys lose an average of 7 years off their lifespan.
Yes.
I mean, can you imagine? And, you know, I always think, never mind if you have a $10 million contract. Imagine you're getting paid league minimum. Is that really worth 7 years off of your life? You know what I mean? And so.
Yeah. There's so many examples of the head injury stuff, and you kind of see the NHL, like you're talking about with the NFL, they just said they're going to do the Guardian helmets in the NFL for gameplay. So that's really exciting. You know, they've been working to come up with this technology, and then the NHL, it's like, okay, well, they got pulled for spotters, and then people are complaining And I'm like, that's your brain, okay? Like, you need that. Like, that controls everything else. And it, as if we don't have enough examples. I mean, we just lost Chris Simon a couple of, a month ago?
Yeah, rest in peace.
Yes, rest in peace to him, which, I mean, he was an enforcer, and there's a known connection between enforcers and CTE. We've also got, Matt Rempe, right? Is that?
The new Newark Ranger?
Who's enforcing and been in all these really big fights. And like Tom Wilson. Yes, Tom Wilson's trying to get into a fight. And all I keep thinking is about Derek Bugren and all these other guys that have lost their lives. And just like, yeah, I know it's a tough game. And yes, you want to be in it. And also, please, I want you to have quality of life after this.
Yeah.
Well said, you guys. That said, what are your predictions for this series? Does it go to 6, 7?
In my bracket, I had it going 6.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. I would say at least 6 or 7. I mean, at the very least, I would love to see 7 games of this series is what I'll say. It's just, I mean, and you know what? I could be happy if we battle it all the way out to 7 and just get eked out. Because then we showed up and we did our job. And it's been so fun to watch.
So I hope you guys both lose. I'm just kidding. Well, we still got to finish up Winnipeg, but I did have Dallas going all the way. Well, obviously, for my bracket, I picked Colorado and the Rangers for the finals, but then my backup was Dallas and Florida.
Ah.
So,
you know, this was the first year that I didn't complete a bracket. I am, like I said, my superstitious feeling has never been higher. I can't do it. I'm too much of a chicken. So I'm going to keep all of my predictions, but I'm going to have a stress ulcer by the time this is over.
every year.
Okay. Yep. And then lastly, you guys, I want you to rank these fan bases from worst to the absolute worst.
Oh dear.
Toronto Maple Leafs.
Ooh.
St. Louis Blues. And Swifties.
Blues are the worst by far. Blues are the worst by far. Like, I
Put out an album, so the Swifties are pretty happy right now. So.
Yeah, they're kind of happy, so they'll leave you alone. No, a couple years ago during the playoffs, we had the privilege to sit behind Tyler Seguin's mom and his two sisters. And it was really lovely. His agent was also there, but there was a Blues fan at the end of the row in a luchador mask that I literally thought those girls were going to beat up. Like, they were like standing up and yelling at him because they were yelling stuff at him and at their mother about Tyler, not realizing that that was his family. So it was very interesting.
Whoa.
it was wild.
All right, guys, that's all I got. I want to thank you so much for being respectful for each other. It's a good example for other fans to realize, hey, hockey is the best and we can treat each other with respect and everything.
Absolutely.
Good luck to your respective teams. Like I said, I hope I don't see either of you next round, but I have to see one of you. So yes. I just don't know who to say, because I want to say Vegas because there's an 8th seed, but it's the playoffs and it doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter. You know? It doesn't matter. Yeah,
it's different. It's different. And you know what? As far as the Avs go, like, Zach Parise, I normally am not going to be like, yeah, okay, go Avs. But that would be really cool. That would be really cool for him.
Anyway.
Long time Wild.
Yeah. Well, and like, also from UND.
Yep.
That's right.
So anyway,
all right, we'll good luck, you guys. And I guess I'll only be talking to one of you in the next 2 weeks. So,
all right.
We'll see.
Thanks so much, guys.
Thank y'all.
Yep, thank you.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye.